like to also give a warm welcome to each one that has come out to the meeting tonight. And it's been a real privilege to be with you over this weekend. Of course, I've got roots here, and it's been about 23 years since moving away from this area, but it's always good to be here, and we appreciate the kindness of the saints. Now, one thing that's very much before my mind this evening in the preaching of the gospel is the responsibility of discharging three truths. One of them, the first, is man's ruin. The second is God's remedy. And the third, man's responsibility. And so that really is the outline that I'm following this evening, and I'd like to look at three passages of Scripture. And in these three passages, there's three words in each one that I'd like to emphasize. And we trust that the Spirit of God would drive home to each heart here, not save, the Word of God. The Word of God is far more important than anything that I could say about it. And so let's look first of all at the book of Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, we'll just read one verse here, and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the three words that I'd like to impress upon your heart and mind this evening from this verse is, all have sinned. And there we learn something of man's ruin. If this was a children's meeting, I would get you to repeat those words with me. But maybe I'll repeat them for you, and you can repeat them in your own mind. All have sinned. All have sinned. Our second reading is John chapter 19. And here we have God's remedy for man's ruin. Let's look at John chapter 19, and we'll break into the reading at verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon a hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And the three words that I'd like us to remember from this reading tonight are the words of the Lord Jesus from the cross when he said, It is finished. Again, it is finished. All have sinned, but we're thankful that we can tell you tonight about a finished work. It is finished. And a final passage in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. Well, just to get the whole connection, we'll read the story, beginning at verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, and I want you to notice these words, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come to the ship, the wind ceased. And that's all we'll read. For the time being, we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his word to us. Three truths. Man's ruin. What does the Bible say? All have sinned. God's remedy. What did the Lord Jesus say from the cross? It is finished. Man's responsibility to call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. And I want us to think of the words of Peter, Lord, save me. And so I'd like to say three things about each of these three verses. In relation to the words, all have sinned, I want us to think of the all-inclusiveness of that statement. There's no exceptions. Well, I guess we could think of one exception, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's the only person that has ever walked this scene that is without sin. But every single one of us born into Adam's race, this is the conclusion of Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, this really is a concluding statement that is made. And if you were to read the chapters preceding and the verses preceding this, you would find that the Apostle Paul, in this Roman letter, he presents for us a courtroom scene. And in that scene, he brings witnesses against three classes of humanity. And he shows that the immoral man is guilty. And he shows that the moral man is guilty. The man that thinks he's better than the immoral person. And he shows that he's no better. Because he may not do the things that the immoral man does, but he finds pleasure in them that do them. And then we have the religious man, the Jew in particular, brought before us. And so, friend, in the meeting tonight, if there's never been a time in your life's experience when you have received the Savior for yourself, I want you to understand tonight that you come under the umbrella of what is taught here in this verse. For all have sinned. It includes everyone, the whole world. Maybe you're a good living person. I doubt very much that we would have an immoral person here tonight. Maybe you're the moral person that would think about your neighbor that's immoral. But let me ask you about your thought life. I know myself, I'm very glad that our thoughts are kept private. And I'm sure you are too. Because God God not only sees what we do, He not only hears what we say, but He's able to reach into the very recesses of the mind, and He knows what we think. And this verse tells us that all have sinned. It's all inclusive. It includes everyone. Whether you're a religious person tonight, whether you're a good, outstanding citizen tonight, or whether you're a person that lives in the gutter of sin, all have sinned. Then I want us to think about the reliability of this statement. This is not something that a man has come up with. This is God's indictment against us. And so what we have read tonight is something that is absolutely true. It's truth that we're presenting. Elsewhere we read that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. They are all turned aside. They are all together become filthy. Isaiah 53 will tell us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And so not only does this statement include all, but you can be sure tonight that this is a dependable, reliable statement. You know, if the Bible was written by men, I don't think you would find this statement in here at all. We like to put as positive a spin on things as we can. And we wouldn't want to include ourselves in this statement, for all have sinned. And so what we're speaking tonight is not the words of men, but it's the words of God. And so you can depend upon the truth of this statement, all have sinned. But thirdly, I'd like us to think of the seriousness of this statement. All have sinned. Now, you might take comfort tonight in the fact that you're in the same boat as everybody else. But the truth of the matter is that each one of us, in a day to come, is going to find ourselves personally face to face with the God that made us. And you know, there'll be no taking comfort in that everybody else is a sinner as well. This is a serious condition. And if you've never understood that before, I want you to understand tonight the seriousness of the state that you find yourself in. And so we have brought before us in this verse the ruin of man. It came, of course, initially from our first parents. And Adam in particular, as he disobeyed God and partook of that fruit that was forbidden, he brought the whole of the human race into ruin. But tonight, you can't just take comfort in the fact that you couldn't help the fact that you were born a sinner. You're responsible for your deeds tonight. And this verse tells us, all have sinned. Man's ruin. But then our second passage, John chapter 19. We read here the words of the Lord Jesus. It is finished. Now I realize that in the original this is one word. But I'm quite okay with the three words that we have in our English. It is finished. I want us to think of three things in relation to this verse. I want us to think, first of all, of a work that was completed. The work of reconciliation. You see, because of our sins, We were separated from our God. Not only separated, the Bible teaches us that we were at enmity with God. And the fact of the matter is that God didn't need to be reconciled to us, but we need to be reconciled to God. And the Apostle Paul will make the statement, "Be ye reconciled to God." But God has provided a work in the person of His Son where reconciliation has been made possible. And that work was finished. That work was completed at Calvary when the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, who came from heaven into humanity, out of love for our souls, He went to that cross at Calvary and He gave His life's blood. He's shedding His precious blood. He accomplished a work there that nobody else could accomplish. He completed a work of reconciliation. The Bible speaks of Him as being the one mediator between God and men. You see, God and man was separated because of our sins. But there upon the cross, He dealt with the problem of human sin, and He completed a work of reconciliation. And so we read the words together, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. There was one scripture in the Psalms where we read, "In my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink." And the Lord Jesus knew that there was that one scripture yet to be fulfilled. The work had been done. But He spoke those words, "I thirst." And it was a genuine thirst. It was a real thirst. But we think of what men did to Him. In His thirst, they gave Him vinegar. And so there was a vessel set full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to His mouth. And when He had received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished." The work of reconciliation was complete. But I want us to think as well of a debt that was paid. And here I'm thinking of redemption. And there upon the cross, He paid a price in full. And in the thought of redemption, we have the thought of a price being paid. And it's through His blood that we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Romans will tell us. And so not only do we see a work completed, but we see a debt paid in full. And friend, in the meeting tonight, you can come into the blessing of redemption and the forgiveness of sins because the Lord Jesus completed the work upon the cross. It is finished. But I want us to think thirdly about a holy God that was satisfied. And there we have the thought of propitiation. You see, our sins had offended a holy God. But God was satisfied with the work of His Son. And if you want proof of this, just think of what happened 3 days after when God raised Him from the dead. We're told that He was delivered because of our offenses. He was raised again because of our justification. And so, friend, in the meeting tonight, while you and I were ruined by the fall, God has provided a remedy in the person of His Son. And there upon the cross, He completed the work of reconciliation so that man and God can be brought together. Man can be brought into fellowship with God. He completed the work of redemption. He paid the price in full with the shedding of His blood so that you and I can be purchased out of the slave market of sin and be given freedom and liberty in the person of the Lord Jesus. And there upon the cross, as a result of the work that He accomplished, as He paid the price of our sins, a holy God was satisfied. I guess my question for you tonight is this. Have you ever been satisfied in the work of Christ? Have you ever seen it as enough to meet your need? God has seen it as being enough. And I believe it's an infinite work that He accomplished. And God was satisfied in it so that God can forgive and justify the guilty sinner. But that brings us to the third point, man's responsibility. We read the story tonight of the Lord Jesus coming to the disciples, walking upon the water, and Peter bidding him to call him to him, and he said, "Come." And as Peter walked upon the water and saw the wind and the waves about him, he began to sink. And these are the words that he cried out, "Lord, save me." Three simple words. This could be the prayer of someone here tonight. Lord, save me. I want us to think in relation to this cry that it was an urgent cry. You know, Peter didn't have in the back of his mind plans that he had for tomorrow. He wasn't thinking about retirement or things that are down the road. He was thinking of one thing, and one thing only, and that is that he was sinking, and he was going to perish. And there was only one solution. There was only one person that could save him. And he cried out in urgency, "Lord, save me." And friend, in the meeting tonight, if you want to know God's salvation, you need to be urgent about it. You need to realize that this is life or death. And this is not simply just physical life or death. This is spiritual life or death. Something much greater again. This is heaven or hell. This is eternal life or to perish. And so you need tonight to be urgent about the matter of salvation. And so Peter's cry was an urgent cry. Lord, save me. I want us to think as well that it was a personal cry. Peter wasn't worried about the other disciples in the ship, even though there was a storm about. And it's been said before that salvation is something that the one thing that you need to be selfish about. You need to think about yourself and your need tonight. And you need to put that matter first and foremost. It was a personal cry. And while God very often works in families, He still works individually. And so, friend, in the meeting tonight, whether you're from a Christian home or not, whether you've been brought up hearing the gospel, or whether you might even be hearing it for the first time, you have a personal need before God. And the matter of salvation is a very personal thing between you and God. You know, that's one reason why we don't have altar calls where we would ask you to come up to the front and we would pray with you. Because this is a matter that you need to sort out yourself between you and God. It was a personal cry. But I want us to think, thirdly, that it was an effective cry. What did we read there in Matthew chapter 14? After Peter cried out, "Lord, save me." I'll just turn to it to get the words accurately. Matthew chapter 14, we read, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him." Immediately. There was no time delay. There was no time lapse. The moment Peter cried out that cry, at that very moment, the Lord caught him by the hand and brought him to safety. And friend, in the meeting tonight, salvation happens in an instant. The moment you come in simple, childlike faith to the person of the Lord Jesus, the one that paid that debt at Calvary, the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you can just take these words on your lips tonight of Peter, "Lord, save me," you can know what it is to have salvation in an instant, to know your sins forgiven, and to know that you're no longer in that condition of ruin, but that you're in the enjoyment and blessing of salvation and sins forgiven. We trust that you might do so for his name's sake and for your own blessing. Thank you.